Okay, so we are marveling at our salvation, which is what we've been doing for a very, very long time. We've been taking a step back to look at our salvation from an expanded point of view. We've been looking at, like, just how awesome all of the goodness was. And we spent, like, a long time talking about love, and we spent a long time talking about the armor of God, and we spent like 7 weeks talking about just the Bible in its of itself. And so we've been talking about this for a long time, like how good our salvation is, because it's not just this one trick pony. It's deeper than that. We get so much awesome stuff. But today is a good one. Today's a good one. If you can wrap your head around what we talk about today, there is so much freedom in this, in what we're going to talk about today. And every one of us are guilty of this. Every one of us do this. But if we can really get our head around this, it'll change the way you live. And what we're talking about this morning is our identity in Christ. But before we really get started, I need like 8 volunteers. You don't have to talk. All you have to do is come up here and stand on the stage. That's it. I need like 8 people to come up and stand behind me, and I'll tell you what to do from there. Nothing embarrassing is going to happen, I promise. There we go. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. So 7. Ocho. There we go. All right. Now, if you guys, is there room to stand right up there on the stage to get all of you on the... I meant to warn you, Ron, that this was coming so that you could keep the screen a little bit wider, and I just forgot to warn you.
Yeah, okay. Come on over. We got it.
Okay. Now, what I would like you to do is align yourselves based on height. So the shortest one down there where Blake is, and then the tallest one down here. So, yeah. Let's rearrange. The short is on that end. Roxy, you're all the way on that end. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, you need to keep on moving down. I didn't realize how dysfunctional this would be. I'll be honest. It's close enough. It's close enough. Okay, now just hang out there for a second, and then we're going to rearrange ourselves again in just a moment. All right, so hang out there for just a second. Okay, now, here's what happens. We, in our lives, we look sideways when comparing ourselves, right? We compare ourselves with other humans, right? This is what we're guilty of doing. And so here's what happens. When you've got a list like this, then this guy can say, I'm at the top of the pile. I'm the big guy. I can, you know, like I'm the one who I can reach all the cereal on the top shelf, whatever. But here's the trick to that, okay? She might also believe that she's the top of the pile because she can fall asleep on an airplane. I bet you can't fall asleep on an airplane, can you?
I can fall asleep anywhere.
Well, okay. Because she fits in tight places. Her clothes are less expensive, and so on and so forth, right? Right. But then you also might have somebody here in the middle who's like, I'm the top of the pile because I can reach something on the top shelf, I can change light bulbs, and I can still sleep on an airplane. See, the problem is when we compare ourselves among ourselves, then it's all so subjective. We're measuring ourselves based on each other. Now, let's see, what was the next one I was going to do? If you would, line yourself up according to age. So we're going to put the oldest one here and the youngest one there. That's okay. We don't actually know how old you are. I didn't ask you to. I just put yourself in order. Okay. Now. So, I mean, the gray hair does tattletale a bit. It does. Okay. All right. Now, the same problem exists here. As you arrange yourself, as you look sideways to compare yourself to other people, then she might say, I'm the top of the pile. I've got the most experience. I've lived the most life. I've got the most wisdom, and so on and so forth. But he might think to himself, I'm at the top of the pile. I've got the most energy, which is certainly true, I'm sure, of the people on this stage. I've got the most energy. I've got, like, he and his buddies could jump in a car, drive to California, and take turns sleeping in the car while the other one is driving, and get out and go and have a fantastic day. The people on this end, that would kill. You can't do that anymore when that happens, okay? So you don't have that kind of... So the problem is when you arrange yourself by looking sideways at other people, then you're comparing yourself against a false narrative. There's no set standard with this. But with Jesus, there is. Thank you, volunteers. You guys can go and have a seat. Thank you. That was fun. Okay. Because we do this, right? We compare ourselves by how much money we have in our pocket. Because actually, this was a lesson I did with the students somewhat maybe a few months ago. And I had them line up by who had the most cash in their pocket, which was all zero. It was, anyway. But we line up, we organize ourselves by our money. We value ourselves by our height, by our age, by how much screen time we use, by the age and mileage of our car, by the fanciness of our clothes, by our toughness, by our humor, how funny we are or how good looking we are or any of those things. We measure ourselves that way, and it's all looking way. So, Shannon, could you put up my first slide here? Nope, that's not the first one. That's the second one. Okay, now... Here, so this is what we do. We decide, well, okay, I'm plenty tall, right? This is not my, I just made up some stuff, so this is not how I view myself. Anyway, I'm tall, so I measure up pretty good over here. I got no money, so I measure myself down here, right? Humor, I'm pretty funny, so that's okay. I have good clothes. Like, I believe that my sense of fashion is awesome. I could probably beat up half the people in the world or whatever, right? Like, I'm okay looking, right? I'm not quite old enough, or I'm too old. This is how we measure ourselves based on our metrics. Right? This is how we look at ourselves. But the problem is that it's a false sense. It's not based on anything other than your own measuring stick. So when you measure yourself based on what you see in other people, you value things differently than somebody else. So you say, I'm most important because I have the fanciest clothes. But somebody who doesn't care about fashion doesn't put you at the top of the pile. They don't care about your clothes. Or you value yourself based on your humor, right? But somebody else doesn't care if they're funny. So you can never get to the top of the pile. And if you ever do to the top of the pile, there's always somebody better. Right? Like your toughness, I think your toughness, the fighter, right? Like there was a time when nobody in the world would want to fight Mike Tyson. But somebody whipped him. There was a time when nobody wanted to run a race against Usain Bolt, but somebody beat him, right? There's always going to be somebody faster, somebody prettier, somebody with more money. There's always going to be somebody with a bigger house, somebody always going to be, there's always somebody better, always somebody better. If you're using these kinds of metrics to measure yourself, but when you look at it from the Lord's point of view, now the next slide. It's all even. Even money, which was negative on that one. It's all even. It's all the same thing. It's all even. The Lord does not respect you more because you're funnier than somebody else. The Lord does not respect you more because you have better looks. The Lord does not respect you more because you have more whatever, more of this, more of that. And if you're valuing yourself based on that, then you're... spider or something. He was crawling around in my hair. I just was like, right, what was that? Okay. I wonder if that happens in big churches. Surely that happens in big churches. Okay. So let's jump into a scripture. That'll help me get back on topic. Here we go. So this is Romans chapter 2, verse 11. For God does not show favoritism. Or the way that King James says it, God is no respecter of persons. God does not value you more because you're better looking than me. God does not value you more because you have more money in your pocket. God does not value you more because you have more skills than I do, or you're whatever, or versus your next door neighbor, or because you have a nicer car than your next door neighbor, or a nicer house than your next door neighbor, or your whatever, your dogs are better behaved, or your kids are better behaved, or whatever the thing is. God does not respect you more because these things are true of you. God does not respect you as a human like that. Okay, we're going to get into this. Look, let's look at, this is Daniel chapter 4. We're talking about King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon at the time. Listen to this. But all these things did happen to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, he was taking a walk on the flat roof of the royal palace in Babylon. As he looked out across the city, he said, "Look at this great city of Babylon. Look at my own mighty power. I have built this beautiful city as my royal residence to display my majestic splendor." While these words were still in his mouth, a voice called down from heaven, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, this message is for you. You are no longer ruler of this kingdom, for you will be driven from human society. You will live in the fields with the wild animals, and you will eat the grass like a cow. 7 periods of time while you live this will pass while you live this way, until you learn that the Most High rules over the kingdoms of the world and gives them to anyone he chooses." That same hour, the judgment was fulfilled, and Nebuchadnezzar was driven from human society. He ate grass like a cow. He was drenched with the dew of heaven. He lived this way until his hair was as long as eagle's feathers, and his nails were like birds' claws. So here God is proving that just because you're rich and famous doesn't mean that you're super special. It just means you're rich and famous based on us, right? And as much as I would like to look at a guy like Harrison Ford or whatever, who's got it all, like he's good looking, he can act, he's got money, he's, you know, whatever, he can fly a plane, you know, whatever the good, or whoever it is that you admire. And I don't even know that I care that much about Harrison Ford. I'm just saying, like, as much as we look at somebody like them and be like, man, they're really blessed by the Lord, they're really awesome, God must really love them, it's not true. That's all based on our metrics. God doesn't respect Harrison Ford any more than he respects King Nebuchadnezzar, more than he respects you. This is true for everybody. We all have to humble ourselves and recognize that God is the one. So we have to define ourselves based on God. If you define yourself based on you, then you're losing that battle. You're setting your own metric. You like you build your own yardstick and you say, this is what this should look like. This is it. I am the measuring stick here. And everybody who doesn't measure up exactly like you is either better or worse than you. But you created that measuring stick. God didn't create that measuring stick. God created you. Okay, now, let's see. Let's get into Romans chapter 3. This is verse 9. Well then, should we conclude that the Jews are better than others? No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. Okay, we're all on equal footing. Should we conclude that Jews are better than others? No. Should we conclude that Gentiles are better than others? No, we're all under the power of sin. So here's the thing. Once you sin one time, that's it. Now you're on equal footing with the rest of us. If you could remain perfect, then you could claim superiority above us. But you're not perfect. And you're not going to be perfect. And so you don't get to claim superiority over me. Regardless of your financial status, regardless of your, you know, wealth and power, position, or whatever, you don't get to claim any superiority over anybody else because you're a sinner. We're all on equal footing. When we define ourselves by God's stuff, right, we're all on equal footing. Man, if you can get a hold of this. Man, if you can get a hold of this. Like, here's the thing. God loves you because God is love, not because you earned it. If you can get your head around that, then you can stop caring about what people think about you, right? If you can wrap your head around, like, God loves me because I'm me, and for no other reason. If you can get your head around that, man, that would cause so much freedom for you. Let's look at another scripture here. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You are God's masterpiece, not your own masterpiece, God's masterpiece. He created you. If you can get your head around this, there's freedom here. You don't have to worry about, well, what does somebody think about my hair? Am I dressed right for this? For this event, am I appropriate to, like, do people think I'm good at this? Or it doesn't matter. You don't find your value in how fast you are or how rich you are or how strong you are or how funny you are or good looking you are. You don't find your value in those things. If you can find your value in Jesus, then you're set free from the opinions of others. Man, that's so good because we live our lives based on the opinions of others. We're always so afraid all the time to do anything that would pull us out of like the norm. We're so afraid to look different or to be different. But Jesus isn't worried about that. We are. And God created you as his masterpiece. It's his masterpiece. God created aardvarks and duckbill platypuses and all this stuff, right? God created trees and atoms and all of the things that make up our world. He created all these things, and yet we are called masterpiece. Not nature. Nature's not masterpiece. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. It's not his masterpiece. We are the masterpiece. You are beautiful, even if you're ugly. You are beautiful even if you're old. You are beautiful even if you're poor. And you don't need to look sideways. And we spend so much time looking sideways. Freedom is found in looking up, comparing yourself to Jesus. Let him define you. Let's look at another scripture here. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for us so that we could be made right with God through Christ. You get to borrow Jesus' awesomeness. You get to wear Jesus' awesomeness. Now, if you're not a Christian, you're not wearing Jesus' awesomeness. You need to start comparing yourself to other people. Okay, because that's the only way you're going to win in life. But if you have Jesus, then you get to use his righteousness, his awesomeness, his glory. You get to like borrow a piece of it and wear it around everywhere you go. And so am I appropriately dressed for this event? It doesn't matter. I'm dressed like Jesus. Am I funny enough for this person? It doesn't matter. I'm funny like Jesus. Am I good looking enough? It doesn't matter. I'm good looking enough for Jesus. We get to put on his righteousness. We were made for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be an offering for our sins so that we can be made right with God through Christ. We get to put it on. We get to put on his righteousness. We get to put on his awesomeness. And that sets you free from the opinions of others. So if you came in this morning and your hair's all messed up, my hair doesn't really mess up, but if you came in this morning, your hair's all messed up or your shirt's ratty or whatever, and you're trying to hide, there's like a hole in here and you're trying to hide it, keep your arm by your side or whatever, you don't have to, that's how people are, like you get a little hole in your, you know, oh my goodness, you don't want people to see that, or you spill coffee on your britches and you're trying to hide or whatever, you know what I mean? You don't have to do that. You get Jesus' awesomeness. Okay, this is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You can let go of people and their opinions because God is enough. I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. This earthly body that you have, this skin suit that we wear, right? You live in it by trusting in the Son of God. And so whatever this skin suit looks like, whatever it acts like, whatever it is, it's all borrowing Jesus' righteousness, Jesus' awesomeness. And so you're good just like you are. Does that mean, I'm not talking about like your sinfulness. Like we've got to, you know, you've got to eradicate the sin in your life. Absolutely. But I'm saying you don't have to measure up to the people. You don't have to look sideways to measure yourself. You can look at Jesus and Jesus alone. That's enough. Man, if you guys can get your head around this, if you can get your head around this, I promise you, it will give you freedom. So much freedom. Because we spend so much time worried about what other people think about us. Even like people close in our lives, like spouses or our, you know, like our cousins and stuff, our coworkers. We care so much about what other people think about us. If you can get your head around this, if you can measure yourself looking up rather than sideways, it'll change your lives. So here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask you to stand and pray if you're tired of measuring yourself sideways and you're ready to look up, you're ready to measure yourself up, then we're going to do it eyes open. We're going to do it eyes open because this is your first chance to like give up what people think about you. Because it's going to cause you some anxiety to stand up because you're measuring yourself sideways. But I'm going to ask you, if you want prayer for how to let go of all of this human stuff, then I'm going to pray for you. I want to pray for you, but you're going to stand up, okay? So how about this? If you're ready to pray that prayer, God, I want to give up, like looking sideways, and I want to look to you, then go ahead and stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm going to pray for you guys. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you see the hearts of the people standing up in this room. God, you know the amount of hurt that we have taken time after time after time after time again at the opinions of other people. And so, Father, this morning, we let go of that. God, we put our trust in you and we say, you, Lord, are enough. God, I pray that you help each and every one of us, Father, to let go of the sideways looking and to look to you for our goodness, for our humor, for our talents, for our everything, God, that we look to you and base our opinion of ourselves on what you think, that you think we're a masterpiece. God, I pray out of this moment that accountability is created for those in this room. God, that we would lean into each other. Hey, how are you doing on thinking about this or that? You know, like comparing yourself to others. God, I pray that accountability would be created in this moment based off of this. God, you're so glorious and you're so good. Thank you that you love us. Like just the way we are, Lord. God, we confess that we're sinners. We open ourselves up to you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. All right. I really hope that sinks in for you. Let me pray for you one more time, and then Gene's got something he wants to talk about. Father, in the name of Jesus, you are a good God. You're glorious and you're wonderful. Thank you for Elston Family Church, what it means to us. God, we bless you. We thank you for being so cool and for giving us yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.